of the butterfly. Now Fiona's got this beautiful picture of a butterfly in her CD cover. My picture of a butterfly is something probably a little bit lower. See, when I was a Bible college student, and many of you would know this, I worked for the Walt Disney Company. I worked for the Disney store as part-time. It was my dealing with real people outside of a Bible college setting. And one of the great things that happens with the Disney store and with the Disney Company is that there is a synergy. The sum of the parts, sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. So the Walt Disney Company would release films, and the Walt Disney stores would have merchandise, but also would be able to attend the premieres and to encourage people to be part of the premieres of these films that are there. And while I was working for the company, the film A Bug's Life was released. Yeah, Flick and Atta that was there. The story of this little inventor bug who keeps trying to find ways to make things easier to gather and harvest food, because every year the bad locusts come and they steal all the food that's there. And one of the characters of this freedom fighters, if you like, to free them from the effects of these bad locusts, there's a ragtag band of animals or insects that Flick gets alongside him. And one of them is a little caterpillar called Heimlich. And Heimlich aspires to be a beautiful butterfly. They've cast him with a little bit of a German voice, and he keeps saying, "I want to be a beautiful butterfly." Right through the... I know, my talents are wasted. No, they're not. But throughout the film, he holds on to this dream. "I want to be a beautiful butterfly." All through the film, every moment, some of you are thinking, "I should go for some counseling or ministry or something right now." But he wants to be a beautiful butterfly. He lives with a dream. He lives with hope to be all that he could be. And at the very end, the one that steals the last frame, if you like, is all the insects are heading off into the distance. And there is Heimlich hanging from a tree in a chrysalis, this cocoon that is formed where this butterfly or this caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. And he pops down with these two tiny, tiny little wings, still in his same rather rotund and large caterpillar body. But with some help from friends, those wings begin to flap. And as the film ends, he soars off into the distance saying, "I am a beautiful butterfly. I am a beautiful butterfly." I wonder what's your dream. I wonder what's the hope that you're clinging to. What's the potential that you have in God for who you can be, for what he has called you to be becoming in Jesus? You see, the Apostle Paul uses this word metamorphosis to talk about this in his writings, to describe and to talk about this total, radical, complete transformation that occurs in somebody's life when they surrender and when they submit their life to King Jesus. And we know it and we read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And really, there couldn't be any other scripture that we could be talking about this morning other than 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Now, in my Bible, there's an exclamation mark, which means it's an opportunity for a bit of a whoop, a scoop, a celebrate, a yeah. So let's go again, okay? "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." No, not yet. "The old has gone, the new has come." Some of you are taking the mickey now. That was spontaneity as opposed to scripted. "But the new has come. Your old has gone because of Jesus." And we've heard something of what the Holy Spirit was wanting to bring through some of the gifts of the Spirit, that the picture, the prophetic words are being brought about resting and remaining in the palm of his hand, the safe place to be, about being in that place of God restoring some broken things, or even leading you on through the power of forgiveness to be able to forgive yourself. Because you know, if Jesus can forgive you for all that you've done, then maybe, just maybe, you can forgive yourself. But I want us to think about butterfly love this morning, about becoming who God intended you to be. Think about some lessons from the change of a caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. And I was looking online, looking at various things, talking about what this process of change from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And the first thing that happens from a from the caterpillar is that he gets connected to the branch. Right? If he gets connected to the branch, there's a little bit of caterpillar glue that comes out, and that he, for want of a better excuse me if you're a biologist or into insects, big style, I'm probably, you'll be tearing your hair out at some of my very low-level description, but he gets some caterpillar glue and he sticks himself to the bottom of this branch. But he gets connected to the branch. The Amplified Bible, when it's talking about if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The word that is used there is the same word that would be used for being engrafted. Again, horticulturists will know that if something is going to be engrafted into a branch, so there's a little cut that's made and it's tied onto it and it's allowed to become engrafted into the branch. John chapter 15. Verses 4 and 5 gives us some really good advice here to get connected to the branch. John 15 and verse 4 says this. It says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples the moments before he's going to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he will be, he's having the Last Supper into the Garden of Gethsemane, then he's going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, then he's going to be beaten, flogged, crucified, placed in the tomb, and the third day he's going to rise again. And listen to his words as he speaks to his friends, his disciples. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If we are going to be all that God wants us to be, all that we can possibly potentially become in the Lord, then we need to be connected to the branch. If we are made to love, we need to be connected to the branch and remaining in him. The second thing that the caterpillar does, that he hangs upside down. But actually, he's the right way around to become who he needs to be. You know, it's been preached many times that when Jesus comes into your life, he turns your world upside down, or maybe he turns your world the right way around. Things that you thought were okay, all of a sudden, are not okay. Because they're not pleasing to Jesus. Might be thoughts. It might be habits, it might be speech, it might be attitudes, it might be behavior, it might be lifestyle, but they're not in keeping with God's best for our life. And remember, it's not how close to the world can we get and still call ourselves a Christian, it's how close to the Lord can we get and call ourselves a friend of God. So that might mean taking up our cross, denying ourselves and following him. Say, it's okay for the world, but it's not okay for me because I'm a follower and a friend of Jesus. Hanging upside down. The next thing that happens, I know this is way cheesy, but do you know what? I'm a preacher, so I'm going to preach it shamelessly. The third thing that happens about this little caterpillar and his process of turning into a beautiful butterfly is that he doesn't just get connected to the branch. He doesn't just hang upside down. He actually curls into a J shape of the letter J. Can you see where we're going with this? Now, I know it sounds really cheesy, but unless the stamp of the Savior is in our life, we will never, ever be changed. Because it's only our best deal. It's only our best efforts. Unless the stamp of the Savior is actually there. You know, the Apostle Paul, and as he writes in Philippians, the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of Jesus. We need to become like him, church. We need to have his stamp, his imprint, his shape, something that is signified of Jesus. And okay, for the little caterpillar and for the purposes, it's that letter J, but is the stamp of Jesus there in your life? Is there a difference? Is there a change that is there? Are you in Christ this morning? If you're in Christ, then the effects of being in Christ should be seen, and folks should be able to see Jesus in you and Jesus through you. The next thing that happens about this little caterpillar is that he transforms from the inside out. That actually the chrysalis, this cocoon that he forms around about himself to enable the change to come, the chrysalis actually forms underneath his existing skin. You know, we say at baptism that it's an outward sign of an inward change. And as in our faith, at the heart of the matter, it is the heart that matters. And as Jesus changes us from the inside, Unless we receive God's love in the inside, unless we can begin to love ourselves as God loves us, we will never truly be changed. We will never truly achieve our potential. We will never truly encounter what it is to be made to love. You see, we need to live in God's love in order for us to be able to give God's love. Freely you've received, therefore freely give. But if you've not received, how can you freely give? We need to live in God's love. Next thing, he separates from the old skin. You hear where I'm going with this? He separates from the old skin. He changes from the inside out, and then he separates from the old skin. The old skin, he does a wee wiggle. Feel free to wiggle in your seats. You may get some motion coming back. You've been sitting for a little while. You're getting numb. He separates from the old skin. The old way goes up, and the new, who he is, comes down in the bottom of this cocoon, and the old skin falls off. You know, the would-be butterfly, he's got to work hard. He's got to wriggle, he's got to rotate and spin around about, and we know in Scripture says that the old is gone. Why? Because the new has come. And there is no shared space for the old and the new. That when the new comes, the old has to go, according to Scripture. Yet so many believers try and live a hybrid life of living, and actually the old needs to go. We need to crucify the flesh, nail it to the cross, lay it in the altar, give it up, stop, die to self, whatever language we want to use to describe it, but we need to be changed. The old needs to go, and the new needs to come. And it is hard work. It is hard work to daily say, Lord, I no longer choose to live for me, but I'm going to choose to live for you. Why? Because I'm made to love. And Lord, it gets easier as I rest in your love. And it gets easier as I choose to display your love to other people. And that chrysalis becomes that safe place to become. Getting ready to go public, that place of discipleship, that place of preparation, that place of being changed from glory into glory into glory till there's a strength, a solid foundation in your life where it can be made public and known that you are for Jesus and what it is to live for Christ. You know, Fiona talked about the process and being many years in the journey of coming to this point, but each one is little steps, baby steps of being faithful moment by moment, little by little. And I'm sure your life would be able to testify as well about being in that safe place of God encouraging you. Like a baby who begins to can only lie on its back and then it flips over onto its front and then begins to shuffle backwards and then begins to crawl forwards and then is trying to pull itself up and then will toddle and fall flat on its face and then eventually will be running and going for it full on. It's a process. But are you in that process of being changed from glory into glory, leaving the past behind and becoming who God has planned and who God has purposed for you to actually be? And this little butterfly breaks out, transformed, no longer a caterpillar, but a butterfly, a new creation altogether. Made to love. We were made to love. You know, John chapter 15, that talking about remaining in my love, in verses 9 and verse 10, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. It is a love that is Godward and a love that is towards your fellow men. And in verse 12, Jesus gives this command. He says, you know, it's not just about you loving God, but he says, love one another as I have loved you. Look around the room. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as you've loved yourself and as God loves you. You see, love is the character of God. Love is who he is. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 says and declares, God is love. Love is the motivation of God's restorative process. And it's his motivation towards us. Everything that he does is fueled by his love, his passion, his love, his concern, his desire to see you become who you could and should truly be, to see his hope, his future, his plans become a reality in your life. And he demonstrates the extravagance, he demonstrates the extent of his love And he says there in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Wow. Pile on top of that, John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world. Pile on top of that, Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if love is God's motivation, if love is what we are called to model, then how are we doing? Paul puts it another way, and it's in this passage that we've been looking at in the last number of weeks, looking at claiming your inheritance and spiritual gifts. He describes love as being the Father's excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 into verse, chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. He's spoken about all these spiritual gifts, about Father God's desire that all of heaven would be unleashed into our life so that we can bring his kingdom to whoever we meet in our context, to the city and beyond. But he gives this almost this little cautionary note, this little, now I'm going to show you how it's done, this don't get caught up just in the gifts in and of themselves, but he talks about the attitude and your attitude behind operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And he says, now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. See, God says that love is his excellent way. And as we're made to love, as we're made to flow in that experience, the transformation that God brings in our life, it's because we are made to love, to be loved by God, to love ourselves as God loves us, to love those that are in the family of God with the love of God, but also to love those that are out there, those that we are in our family that we don't actually get on with, those that are in our workplaces that actually get up our nose. That person that we maybe meet all the time in our social settings that we think, oh, here we go again. God calls us to love them. And that's hard. And if you've not got that love, you need to be able to pray, Father, would you give me that love? It's going to have to be a miracle because right now I feel nothing. But you know what? He can do it. And how we're doing in this excellent way can actually be measured. It can be measured, and Paul gives some indications of what it's like and what perhaps your life might be like as you're made to love and flowing in this excellent way. Because he says, love is patient. How are you doing? Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It isn't rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Ouch. It keeps no record of wrongs. Because love forgives completely. How are we doing? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You are made for this stuff. And you are made to receive the ability to operate in these things. You are made to manifest and to show these things. Jesus puts it like this in Luke chapter 10. Because somebody came and somebody asked them all about eternal life. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, or start verse 25, it says, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, and how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Good advice, isn't it? You know, the pat answer. It's in the Old Testament. I'm going to give Jesus the pat answer. But he wanted to justify himself to Jesus. He said, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus tells him a story, and he tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. You read it there, you know, but it really offends everything about this guy to his core, because it's asking him to love the unlovable. It's asking him to go and actually to receive in a moment of weakness, in a moment of, in the man in the story, in a moment of his being devoid of anything, that he's almost cast in the place where he has to receive the love of those that he wouldn't naturally receive. And Jesus sums up the story, and he says to him, who's the one who's the man's neighbor? Says the one who has mercy on him. Jesus says, go and do likewise. So if we're made to love, it's for a purpose. And that purpose is sacrificial, and sometimes it's hard. It's hard to be changed. It's hard to let go of some of those old life and all some of that old lifestyle. But the Lord wants to help us in that, and it's hard to love some people. Present company accepted. But he wants to help us in that. You see, love is our response to God. In our worship, in our communication, in our living as church family together, and also our living within city and within community, because you and I were made to love. It is unavoidable and it is inescapable. We're called to be drawn by his extravagant love, displayed in Christ Jesus, made real and shown that what that's like through his death on the cross, and then to be transformed by his resurrection power made real in our life through the activity, the Holy Spirit. That love, to love like God loves us, then becomes the motivation and the driving force in our life. To love the one who loves us. To love those that we've been grafted into the family of Christ together, and we're adopted into the family of Christ together. We're part of the bride of Christ together as the church. And to reach out to those who have never experienced the love of God. To model something, because how will all men know that you're my disciples if you have one for the other? There's a love-starved world out there. They need to see us making the difference. God's plan to rescue them starts with you and I discovering and uncovering what it is to be made to love. Let's pray.